Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this special episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In today's episode, we welcome in Callum Stenning. Callum is a husband, stepfather, and is, as it happens, a member of an online men's group I co-lead. He is a musician and runs a handyman business in Canberra, Australia. His hero's journey of coming to consciousness and deep men's work includes a motorbike crash, depression, and a broken back. Callum worked with me in a 10-week intensive coaching journey to support him transforming his marriage. He arrives in today as the first heroic guest in our brand new Marriage Transforming Heroes series. Callum Stenning, brother, it's an honor, a privilege, and an absolute joy for me to have you on the show, man. You're very welcome on.
Thanks, dude. Funny to hear the bio. Having listened to a couple of episodes, it was like I was listening to you do the intro, and it was this weird combination of like realizing that I'm on, but also sounding like a podcast that I'm listening to anyway, that I think I'm a part of that conversation as well. So yeah, cool.
Oh man, it's magical to have you on. And it is really funny because this is a first for me. I was telling you, you know, before we came live on, it's a first for me. I've had such a vision in the Be the Husband She Brags About movement. There's the podcast and that, like the batshit crazy, wild, impossible goal I have, that I'm just doing everything in my power, like to make happen, is like to have 10 million guys listening in every week by the end of 2027. I have 100,000 guys in the Heroic Husbands men circles, et cetera, et cetera. Because it's just like, just to have men really, really feeling profoundly supported in this, like this sacred role as husbands that we all get to show up in. But I realized early on, it's like, man, that can't be done by just having experts on the show. I really, really have wanted for months and been acutely aware of having husbands on that, like myself, you know, 3.5 years ago, and I still show up on a daily basis, like with the inner struggles and the challenges, etc. But having powerful men like yourself come on that have come through, you know, like your own journey of transformation to come out the far side and vicariously come on and share your heart, share your experience and your learning. And I'm just super pumped my side that it's you. I've gotten to know you so well and love you and I admire you so profoundly. And just how you've shown up in the men's group initially, and then we did this coaching agreement together. But I want to lead open-heartedly from the start and just thank you from myself, but from every guy listening in. I mean, you're the torchbearer on this. You're the first guy to come in and like completely, you know, open up your heart and soul on it. So thank you for leading so courageously in that, man. Just really appreciating that heart warriorship.
Oh yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I'm a deep end kind of guy, I guess. A lot of my experiences are kind of deep endy. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. Love you too. It's weird to be on a podcast.
and before we kick off, and it's like, and the brotherly love is like just that cement, that connecting glue, and I really do want to acknowledge your beautiful queen listening in as well, because you know the profoundly powerful woman as she is, as is all of her potent, amazing wives, she's sort of gave the absolute go ahead, total rock of support there by your side. Like you go, Tiger. She was like, yeah, you just rip it up with this podcast. So I want to extend the absolute appreciation to your beautiful queen as well for just being so supportive of you in what is, like, you know, it's vulnerable for you, but it's also vulnerable for her heart and her nervous system. So I really want to just bow and honor her courage to just allow us powerful men make this happen and extend that to the world.
Yeah, look, I have to credit her with getting me into men's work, really. So wouldn't, you know, this is a path she set me on and it's led me here. So yeah.
Well, there's a beautiful place to maybe just like deepen into. So it was your beautiful queen that led you into men's work. Because I'm always curious about that with every guy that comes on the show. It's like, how did you enter men's work? Men's work, I've shared countless times with guys here. You know, men's circles for me, and hence why Heroic Husbands Men's Circles is just like a core of the movement going forward. It transformed absolutely everything in my marriage. So I'm really curious. Your queen was the one that you acknowledge as being the sacred person that introduced you or gave you the push. What was happening at the time? How did that play out? How did that initially come to the surface?
I'd been aware of and doing a loose, unstructured version of men's work for a couple of years before we got together. But having been together for I don't know, 2-3 years at the point I was really getting into it. I don't know. It was you know, we've always had conversation and dialogue around our own personal growth and where we need to grow in our relationship, and men's work had certainly always been a part of that conversation. And I think she must have become aware of some groups in America that through a podcast maybe she was listening to. And so she kind of looked a little bit into that and sort of set me off looking at it as well. And I guess it was just the right time, the message had come through from the universe or whatever. And, you know, even though it had been a discussion before, it kind of landed with me this time, and I brought it through to joining a group, which has really been the structured kickstart of my men's work journey.
And Callum, my curiosity is, you know, did your beautiful queen, was it the fact that you were just like a hair's breadth from enlightenment as a man, and she just wanted you to get support for the next level, or were you like myself? You know, what was happening emotionally and psychologically with you? What was she noticing? What was the spur for her to feel, you know, hey, maybe you could benefit by going to a men's group?
Yeah, so there were fights that we were having all the way through our relationship from the start that we would keep coming back to, and what it kind of, you know, turned out once I started peeling back some more of the layers, what was that they were fights that were based around my inability to be present and to hold space. And while I gave a 10 out of 10 for what I knew and for what my understanding was the whole way through our relationship, my scope was still small. And so as we identified, and as I was able to sort of feel in my body where these pieces of specific men's work were absent in me, it was easier to identify, you know, joining a men's group and pursuing this more specifically as a way to combat those symptoms or whatever that was showing up.
And if you talk about like the symptoms that show up, so the inability to be present and hold space, and I really get, like, I love the, I would call it ferociously self-loving and accepting in my language part, where you acknowledge like you had this 10 out of 10 intention the whole way along, but there was a small scope. And that's just such potent language, I think, for every single guy listening in. I have yet to speak to a guy that is not giving his 10 out of 10 to, you know, of his use of the toolkit that he has. And I know you're a handyman, but it's like, you know, if you just arrive on site with just a hammer, I mean, there's only so far a hammer can bring you on a construction site. You know, like you can, okay, I'm going to build a shed for this person, I'm going to put this roof up, but I just have a hammer. And I think that small scope, it's really important. I'd love guys to listen into that sacred context that you've set, because, I mean, if you have a small scope, 10 out of 10 intentionality can only take you so far. But what were those specific symptoms, if you want to say, those symptoms that, you know, when you weren't present and you were struggling to hold space for the feminine emotional storm that can sometimes, well, very often can come our way. What were the symptoms that were showing up in a more specific way?
Well, I suppose like my 10 at the start of our relationship would have been like, if we're in a big fight, she's, you know, slinging shit my way, and I'm feeling like my 10 and the presence that I'm showing up with is in that I'm staying in the room. I'm not like necessarily slinging shit back. I'm trying to diffuse the situation. And so I'm giving it a 10 because I'm sticking around here basically. But what I'm actually showing up with is like, I'm pacing around. I'm not making eye contact. I'm like easily distracted with looking at the clock, looking for some sort of escape, whatever, verbally trying to avoid what's going on and trying to just guide us back to peace without necessarily walking through any of the shit I've dropped on the floor. So those sorts of things, like lack of eye contact, closed body language, like, you know, crossed arms, clenched fists, tight jaw, all of those sorts of things.
It gets to, and I think I've actually come up with this metaphor since my work with you. I have to acknowledge you, and I have acknowledged you, like, you know, live in person, one-to-one. But like, you really raised my game when you came to the men's group, because I say this loving, I resonated so deeply with how you came like this fucking ball of fire to the men's group, because, you know, the guys in the group, you've been, acknowledged by the group as, you know, holding this record for the amount of shares, you know, 1 week after another, after another, after another. But I really love that, because you were just sharing your heart. There was so much love, and I fucking like, for myself, masculinity for me is like the core of a man with a masculine core is intense. You know, there's an intensity. Doesn't matter. 10 out of 10 is just like the default. Fucking go at it. But like, you had that intensity from the get-go. But because you were going at it like so powerfully, like sharing so revealingly everything, there was such a love and such an intentionality to improve how you were able to show up in your marriage. Like, it just was so fucking clear. It was deeply inspiring for me. But it's like, you know, I'm doing this podcast, I'm coaching guys around the world, but I'm fucking far from being the, you know, the end product. Like, it's self-mastery. I'm nowhere near it. Learned a lot, but like a ton more to do. It put the fire of God into me. I was like, wow, he's going at it so, so intensely. Like, there's not like a moment's break with this dude. It was like, you know, your first couple of sessions, I just was like, right, I have to improve my game, because he's going there that rapidly. I've got to improve my game. I've got to quadruple down on what I'm doing with my wife. So I would leave that out there. You know, it's like every single, like you and every single guy that comes on to a call with me, it's like deeply inspires me, because when I meet that intensity, it's like it forces me to improve my game. And I think part of you're going at it so intensely. Did I ever speak of the dirty plate metaphor with you in that one-on-one work?
I don't think we got to the dirty plate.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you, like, I think it's a direct acknowledgement. I think your fucking radical intensity forced me to find some language to describe it. But I just want to give a little bit of context, because you're speaking to it. I want to give a little bit of context here, because I want to get the dirty plate metaphor sort of within the psyche of every single husband listening in, because it's a super simple one. The last, I've had a ton of discovery calls recently, and every single guy that I've introduced it to is like, they totally get it. So let's just play with me for a second, Callum. You're already speaking to the nuts and bolts of what the metaphor points to, but play with me for a second, and the guys vicariously listening in can get it. Imagine for a moment, Callum, you have like a favorite restaurant? There's some restaurant, some diner, some restaurant that you go to that you just get good grub. You like it there. If it's your birthday, if there's a special event and you have the choice, you go to this place. Do you have such a place locally where you're like, you just like the grub?
86. Knew it 86. Straight away.
86. Okay. So 86, they're getting great, great publicity here. I hope there's locals listening in going to 86. Give a shout out to Be the Husband She Brags About podcast if you are as a result. So 86. So you imagine that you're going to 86. And if you're like me, you know, you miss that afternoon snack because you're like, I just want to be like really ready for a good grub, good meal. So you go in, you're there with your family, you know, the full chef, they're on board, it's looking good, feeling good, smelling good, and you're eyeing the door. You know, I don't know, maybe the rest of the world is way more classy than Mark Usher is, but I'm always eyeing the door. I'm like, you know, I'm present with my queen and kids, but I think every single member of my family, we eye the door. It's like we almost have this like competition to see who can notice if they have our plates coming. I don't know. Do you resonate with that, or am I just ignorant culturally?
it's not just you. Okay. We're all watching.
Okay. Well, there's Callum and Mark. Maybe we're the only uncultured ones, but I imagine there's a lot more people out there. There's a lot of people pretending to be cultured, but we all have this. I'm fucking hungry. When's our plates coming? Okay. So you're in that zone. So you're looking for the food. You're hungry. You've ordered your favorite meal and it's coming down. The waiter, waitress, they're bringing down and they put the plate in front of you, Callum. Now, just can seem a bit extreme and a bit ridiculous, this metaphor, but play with me like it's completely real. They put the plate in front of you so that if your favorite meal is in the center of the plate, cooked to perfection, smelling beautiful. But you notice the plate. The plate, it's like three or four meals that very same day have been served on that plate. And it hasn't been washed. It's like you have this dried in sauce and gunk and gravy and shit from, you know, three or four meals before you that day, caked in. It's baked in. It's like it's dried onto the plate. I don't have your visual where we have the videos off, but normally when I introduce this metaphor, guys are already screwing up their faces. You look at another part of the plate and it's like, there's like, is it fucking cat hair on it? It's like there's some unidentified mammal's hair on it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look human. It's on your plate. And then, you know, just to make it seem really special, you notice little black things and a closer inspection, you know what it is. It's mouse droppings and it's on your plate. I just want to touch base with you, Callum, and guys listening in vicariously are going to be having their own experience. It's not going to be 86, whatever their local is. What's going through your mind? Like you were here like 10 seconds ago, mad in anticipation to starting your meal. What's going through your mind now?
Well, first of all, I've got to say the good people at 86 would never have it, but of having a play. I've got to send this plate back. This is not the experience I'm here to pay for. What are we doing?
Okay, so there's an immediate visceral kickback. Now, imagine for a moment, Callum. Imagine this good-looking bloke here, Mark Usher, stupendously, and like it doesn't matter how good-looking I am, and I am good-looking. I'm the waiter. And I'm like, excuse me, sir, Mr. Stenning, we really appreciate your custom here, but you know, it's a busy night here, and I think that meal is really great, Mr. Stenning. You know, can you just eat it, like, and you know, just enjoy the meal? If I tried to sort of play it with you, that just enjoy the meal, that it was a little bit you that was being a bit awkward, how would you receive that sort of me putting the plate back in front of you and say, like, you know, just start your meal, sir? How would that feel?
Look, if it's, you know, if we've got hair on it and mouse droppings and you know, caked on stuff, then I don't really see two ways about this. I think there's only one right answer here. I need now, a new player.
You need a new player. Okay. So seeing as I'm not representing 86 and the good fine folk at 86 are off the hook, but like I'm a total fucking gangster. Okay. I'm like, hey, Mr. Stenning, it's like, I'm not getting you a plate. Like, that's a good meal. Eat it. Like, at what point? Is there any way? And I know it's totally ridiculous and you're playing with me, but like, is there any way I can convince you that the meal is good? Just eat it.
Look, all right. At this point in my life, no. And I think at any point, if there's like obvious like fur and shit on it, then I think still probably I'm still good to say no. But I can recognize the part of me that is codependent and wants to avoid conflict and would just eat something that is less than exactly what I asked or paid for. In the avoidance of such a conflict.
Okay. So all the playing to the side. I mean, Okay. Literally speaking, and I love actually that self-awareness and the conflict avoidant part of you. And I think so many guys will sort of get that. It can get edgy. But like really speaking, it just wouldn't happen. You know, and it's a visceral thing, isn't it? It's like, no, it's like, and it doesn't matter. Like part of this metaphor, and I want like we're having a conversation together, but guys listening in, it's like, it doesn't matter how good the meal is. If the plate is dirty, it completely changes our relationship with the meal. Like the plate where the meal is presented, it completely changes the game. And this is essential because the next portion of the conversation, of what was the core of your work, like to go deeper into that, this metaphor really sort of ties it up, because I want to touch base with you, Callum, on this. And again, inviting guys listening in, just, you know, vicariously listening in is cool, but just touch base with yourselves, like, does this represent it? But Callum, in this metaphor, the meal represents our words as men. It's like our rational minded words. And it's like we prepare. What I have found in my experience, but with guys listening in, every guy that I've spoken this to, that they resonate with it, that in arguments, conflicts, like back the years before deep work, and I know you've got to a new ground on this, but it's like what we end up unwittingly doing as men is like, we're like the waiter that says to our wife, like our words is like the 10 out of 10. It's like our 5-star best presentation of words. We think rationally and we produce these words, and it's like our arguments end up being, it's almost like this back and forth, but it's like, no, but like the words are good. And our wives end up, we give our rational best answer and our wives reject it. They don't accept it. They're like, no, or they answer something back where we're there going, but I presented you those words. And there's some part of our nervous system going, how the fuck did you just say that thing back? How did you respond to that? Where I said this, this is black and white rationality, your side. And then you give me this back. That makes no sense. And we end up sort of pushing the plate forward again, sort of going, hey, have you not seen what I served you? And like, where's this resistance coming from? Does that make sense to you, Callum, like for like pretty much all the arguments, all the conflict that you've had with your queen back the years, this sort of to and fro of trying to serve her the plate again?
Oh yeah, definitely. I've just pushed the plate back across the table numerous times, for sure.
Yeah, and like once. Every guy, I look back 12 years, my divine queen, you the same. I've tried this with like so many different guys on discovery calls recently. Every single guy just goes, yeah, that's what I do. It's like same words, or I rewrap the words, or I insist like the waiter, I get a little bit narky and I'm like, hey, just look at the meal. Can you not, like, it's a good meal. But they resist and they don't receive it. So the next part is like definitely, you know, cleaning the plate. You know, if the waiter just went, here, sir, there's a clean plate, there's your meal on it. I mean, We received a meal because we're hungry, we're wanting it. I just wanted to have a little bit of a foundation there. Callum, on for the next part, because, you know, guys listening in, when we get the metaphor, it changes everything. Callum, what you were mentioning there, and like you already, you know, a few moments ago, you were going into a deep dive of amazing self-awareness of these symptoms of how to show up. If you're willing to play with me, because again, you've went so profoundly into this and the transformation has been so amazing. I really feel guys listening in vicariously can learn so much from you. It's if we do a deep dive on, you know, the five pillars that you've been working on, stillness, sight, shape, state, and story. Can you meet me there? Can we play with this and just go into a deep dive on that?
Yeah, sure, man. Let's go.
Cool, man. I just love that. Fucking, it's like, yeah, let's go. That's just like, that's the core of how you do everything. I love it. So guys, what, just to give a little bit of background, you know, what Callum came to me with, you know, with that intensity, the fights, the cyclical fights and stuff, to keep it safe. And again, safe for his beautiful queen listening in, it's always coming from 100%, 100%. There's 100% responsibility both sides. It's never 50-50 ever, because 50-50 doesn't work. 50-50 is a mindset. It's always going to be 49-51, and it's never 49-51. It's always going to be like, yeah, I'm sort of responsible 20%, but screw whore. It's 80% whore. So it's a conflict increasing perspective. This is 100%, 100%. So you rip out your queen's 100%. She has her stuff. Yeah, she can work on herself, but you leave that. That's her spiritual journey. You gift her the freedom to come to her, you know, spiritual journey in her own time, and you take 100% responsibility. The five pillars of presence, and as Callum, you said, it was like your lack of presence and the inability to hold space and remain grounded there in front of your queen, and like, you know, slinging shit your way. We all have versions of that. But if we take a ride through this, do you remember the stillness point, Callum, where, you know, in conflict, to the radical depths of awareness that you now have, like when you break stillness down being the first pillar of presence or lack of presence, where were you at, like in moments of conflict going back, when you break stillness down into awareness of breathing and your intention? Can you give some insight as to when you look back and years gone by, and when you have been getting into conflict, where is your awareness of breathing in moments of conflict, times gone by, and that intention?
I mean, you know, in the past, there was little to no awareness, certainly for, you know, most of the past, no awareness. All of the focus was just kind of on following that, I guess, what is really the ego mind that is blaming and shaming and trying to find a way to be right in the situation.
And so say all of us type thing. I think every single guy listening in, it's like, yeah, the intention is the right wrong thing. Yeah. Making somebody wrong. It's like, there is one guy there recently. he sort of put it eloquently. He's like, no, I'm not trying to prove that she's wrong. I don't do that. I'm just trying to persuade her that my way is the right way to see it. I thought it was like the most eloquent way of,
yeah,
you know, escaping from, yeah, you're trying to make her wrong. So yeah, it's like this lack of awareness and just getting into this blaming and being right. Have you any awareness? Have you had any awareness of your breathing pattern in times gone by?
So, I mean, you know, obviously in the last, whatever it's been, 6 months or so, I've started becoming vastly more aware. And in maybe years prior, as I've gotten into breath work kind of peripherally, not directly through men's work, I've been able to acknowledge the, you know, the grounding nature of being able to take deep breaths and that sort of thing. And that has made its way in, sort of, but not in the structure to which I'm now implementing it with these pillars. And yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really appreciating, like, this is like a retracing of work. This is like the dichotomy of the experience, because I well know your radical transformation in your marriage, Callum, has come off the back that you're actually practicing and like at an exceptionally high end, these, like myself, like we're constantly falling down, but that radical awareness is like you can course correct. It's really for the benefit of guys listening in, because every guy listening in, we all have this stuff going on. So again, appreciating you going there. In times of conflict, you mentioned it already, but like specific to your eyes, you know, what signs of conflict was, you know, were your eyes showing? And always remembering this context for guys listening in, it's like why we do this deep dive is it's based off this underlying principle that you as a man, as human beings, but as a man from a husband perspective, you cannot avoid the foundational principle that you are constantly transmitting to your woman. And as a result, you're constantly evoking a response from her. So when you can do a deep dive and get super accurate about the message you're transmitting, you then can positively influence the response you're evoking. We normally get stuck on, we don't realize we're transmitting, and we're constantly stuck blaming, but she slings shit back my way. But it's like, yeah, but what did you transmit? So what do you have your eyes been doing, Callum, in moments of conflict? Like to what level of detail have you become aware what your eyes are transmitting?
I suppose the first awareness was like, I'm not making eye contact. I'm avoiding it. And then it becomes, well, where am I looking? Surprisingly enough, I'm looking at doorways and maybe windows. I'm looking at the time. I'm checking my phone. I'm looking for these other portals to take me away from the discomfort I'm currently experiencing.
It's a beautiful potent awareness. I'm holding my hand up here, Callum, as I know I've shared with you for years, the exact same. And I know every single guy, eyes are one of the key things of locking in, because eyes communicate where our attention is. So if we're looking away, there is that escapist part. It's too intense to look at our women for our nervous system. So if you look away, it dampens that intensity. Your shape. You know, guys listening in vicariously, we all do it. We all have our versions of it. But what was happening with your body and with your posture? Posture, sort of like your set shape of your body, and then the body movement around the place. What classically has been happening in conflict from you under your awareness?
I suppose the entry level stuff was like the arm crossing. Holding a fist, clenching my jaw, pacing, again, like, you know, trying to move away. And then, you know, even down to like becoming itchy and like focusing on like scratching something or picking a scab or like, you know, any number of disgusting avoidant things I could do.
Yeah. Oh man, the shape is such a revelatory one. I know Matilde, she sort of laughs now, because it's like a number, like with the consistency of awareness I have my side, and if I don't catch it, she knows by default I'll own my stuff. You know, she does support me and giving me radically direct feedback that's like I would have died like maybe 4 years ago with a stroke or a heart attack if she gave it like with the full force she does now. But she sort of laughs at the, oh man, rubbing the forehead for me was like I'm at like a cliff edge, and rubbing the forehead was like for my nervous system contemplating, do I just make this easy, like 2-3 seconds jump? It was like that, where my nervous system was about to explode from overwhelm. She just was like, she laughs at it now because it rarely happens. I think it happened there a couple of weeks ago, and she just caught, she's like, oh, and she started laughing. She's like, you're rubbing the forehead. what the fuck is going down? And clearly, you know, it's like great support. It's like, oh shit, I'm rubbing the forehead. But every guy has that. So like this amazing awareness of, you know, shape, your arm crossing, clenching, jaw pacing, the itchy thing, these little tics that we can have. And your awareness of state, your inner emotional world, like what emotions classically were you feeling when you look back now? And what were you doing with those emotions? Like in moments of conflict, did you ever speak to them, or like, what does that story look like?
No, I wouldn't speak to them. So I guess, you know, I, being conflict averse, when conflict would come up, when that kind of full flame direct feedback would come through, I'd get a, you know, a fight, flight or freeze response basically. And typically, regardless of which one I pick, it came with a lot of fear, a lot of closure, a lot of, you know, some anger, some relief sometimes that like, maybe this will, you know, maybe it, this one will end all further conflicts like this. Yeah, I think those would be the ones I've become aware of.
Oh man, I love your awareness there, just the linking with the feedback and the fight, flight or freeze. Fuck me, they're like, that was me for years. Completely. It's like conflict avoidant and fear avoidant. Fear avoidant of feedback. Feedback for me was death. It was inherently criticism. But as I know, you can soften criticism with like, oh, conscious criticism, whatever. No, criticism for me was like a knife into my self-esteem. And again, most guys end up relating like that. It's sort of like we were relating with our women unwittingly, like they're like our mothers energetically. It's one of these Jungian or Freudian things to say, but it's like in an uninitiated society, we end up just relating the same way. And hence feedback is such a turn off to us. We take it as like a threat, hence the fight, flight or freeze. But yeah, I love that linking in with that survival instinctual response. What I'm curious about, Callum, with your awareness now, you know, you mentioned there that you wouldn't speak to the emotions. What was, when you look back now, like what was inhibiting you within to be feeling like a high charge emotion, like the anger, and not speaking to it? What was the barrier that wouldn't allow you to speak to it?
Well, I mean, I mentioned it earlier, but I've been quite codependent in my relationships, and certainly in this one. And part of that is, you know, adjusting my own needs to suit the needs of my partner or whoever. You know, it definitely feeds into friendships, into work relationships. All of those can be, you know, filtered through that pattern of behavior. But yeah, there was definitely, you know, I think in that fight, flight or freeze kind of thing, you know, I'm trying to get out of the conflict, and getting out of the conflict isn't about winning the conflict or having my needs in the conflict met. It's just getting out. So I'm not even really touching base with what I'm feeling or if I need to express it. I'm just focused on getting through this and back to a peaceful kind of equilibrium.
Yeah, it's like not touching base with the emotions. Fuck, everything you're saying, it's like I'm raising my hand and I know, I think 99% of guys are listening in, and maybe the 1% that doesn't have his hand energetically up is maybe self-delusional. We're all running from that emotional intensity in the moment. This is amazing awareness. I don't want to get caught into like, but you know, you clearly in the one-on-one coaching, just for transparency, guys listening in, this rising awareness became like a core of the one-on-one coaching journey that Callum had with me. Again, it's like transforming your marriage. I have come to find like where this process has come from is just raising that awareness. If you can become completely aware of your 100%, the message you're transmitting, and from there you can create a positive influence in what you're evoking, well then now you're like the waiter with the plate. Just bring it back to that metaphor. It's like, you know, it doesn't have to be a 5-star meal for somebody to receive that plate. It can actually be like, hey, it's like it's a 2-star meal, but it's still a good meal. But if the plate is dirty, it doesn't matter. So it's like within that, it's like, yeah, it doesn't have to be 5-star, oh, I love you and spiritual poetry coming from your mouth. But it's like, you know, if you just receive, if your woman receives like you know, a decent wording from you, but it's impeccably clean. That has been the thing that has really transformed it for myself and Callum with his work, is that the transformation has been actually sensational, Callum, for you. We will speak to the details of how it has transformed, but just keeping guys locked in along the way, there's a golden thread. Like, this is like deeply transformative in its power, these new awarenesses. Callum, the final part, so there's the stillness that you've spoken to, that breath awareness, you didn't have awareness of that. The intention was to be right. The sight, all that avoidance of your eyes, the shape, classic signs, arm crossing, etc., and little sort of physical tics, the itching, etc. The state awareness, you wouldn't speak to it. Conflict averse, the feedback with that fight, flight or freeze mode. The final pillar of awareness of presence in relating is story. You sort of spoke to it already, but if story in the form of thoughts could be broken down, or can be broken down into blame, which is, you know, classically against your woman. Oh, for fuck's sake, she's doing this, or like, oh, whatever that form of blame is against your woman. Shame is against yourself. It's like, you know, beating the shit out of yourself, inner critic. Oh, you fucked up again, man. Oh, you're whatever. And then claim is taking extreme ownership. I know, Callum, again, just to bow in honor, I know you're like radically taking like extreme ownership now, hence the massive transformation. But for guys vicariously listening in, where were you classically in that ratio in deep conflict? Of like, what percentage of blame thoughts were there? What percentage of shame thoughts, and what percentage of claim thoughts?
Look, I'm trying to remember when we initially talked about this, what my percentages were, but it was probably like 70% blame, I don't know, 25% shame and 5% claim, or something horrendous like that.
the important thing here is like, and with guys listening in, you know, it sounds horrendous when we actually become aware of it. And I love the radical transparency. Like, fuck yeah. Like, there's no guy that I've put this forward to that, like, some guys, there can be a difference between blame and shame, just for transparency. Some guys are more acutely aware, and there's no better or worse. They're more acutely aware that they beat the shit out of themselves more. Some guys would say, hey, 60% shame. I'm beating the shit out of myself predominantly. But there's still a chunk of blame there, and there's very little claim. So, I mean, Callum, you're with your courage, and this is why it's such a beautiful thing to have you on the show, man, and you to courageously open your heart, is you're representing fucking like 99% of guys out there. And as I say, the other 1%, if they're listening in, they're probably self-delusional if they're like, oh, I'm 90% claim and she's the bitch. It's like, it's just not, you know, it's not happening. It's a ton of blame, a ton of shame, and very, very small amounts of claim. Is there anything coming up there? I know, like, just, you know, what's live in you to share just when you speak these awarenesses?
I guess I'm just recalling, like, you know, it kind of comes back to what I was saying before about, you know, trying to be right in the conversation. And I would carry all this baggage of like things that, and this, you know, shout out to the codependents again, all of these unspoken little grievances that I had with her that I wouldn't have spoken to. And then in this moment of great conflict, I'm still not even speaking to them, but in the back of my head, or maybe in the front of my head, while she's giving me this high flame feedback, I'm sitting there thinking about all these little micro things that I never spoke to, but I'm now holding them up, but only to myself, as reasons why I don't deserve this feedback. I shouldn't have to hear this, because you're like that, or you've done these things, or what, you know, whatever the blaming, the shaming story is.
Man, I love the way you just articulate that, like the not speaking, and like the reasons that you don't deserve the feedback. You know, all of these mini grievances, and it's like so fucking potent, because again, it's like it's speaking for so many guys, myself included. It's like, it's sort of like the fuck you and your feedback. You know, if we get really, it's like there is this like fuck you on our forehead. that is like, you know, it's like, yeah, but like sort of 50-50. Yeah, I can sort of meet you with like 10-20% is my shit, but like look at the 80% in my head of where you're at fault. So it goes nowhere. And it's the classic thing. It's like, how is that working out for you, Callum? You know, I ask myself, how is that working out for me? It fucking never was working out.
Not even a single time. It never worked. Not even once. But you know, you keep going back to that well, I guess, because it's ego. It's what else do you do when you're not aware?
Yeah, and it's like, and this is the funny thing, you know, when I love, you know, one dude, another dude, yourself, myself, and in deep work and men's circles, you know, when we have that safe space, and it's also why I really love, you know, men's circles to open up. Because when our women are not there, and there's a sacred relevance in it, you know, the feminine wound can be like, oh, but I want to be there, because there's a lack of safety. It's like, hey, I want to be in that space. I want, like, let's go. Classically, you know, a lot of powerful queens can go, hey, let's go to relationship therapy. But it's really, really fucking hard for us as men to go there, because it's like, effectively, we're opening up. I know my wife. My queen, man, she more times, you know, I'll come down and let's say, like, you know, down the years, I think she's more aware, she's more humorous with it now, but a deep frustration for her in the beginning was like, I'd come down and go, oh, hey baby, you know, just after, like, you know, being grilled by the guys in my men's circle, or like, I've got one-on-one coaching with really powerful guys, and yeah, I just had this awareness, you know, my coach sort of reflected this back to me, and, you know, that let's take an example. Hey, I've been blaming you a lot in my head, and like, clearly that's not going to work out. And like all these grievances, for example. And it's like, I just realized, you know, like, that's just never working. And there's so many times she's like, it takes one fucking man who thinks he's fucking cool. And just because he's like, oh, whatever, masculine culture, he's deep work, he's this, that, the other, he's like, whatever. He tells you once, and you think this is the gift of the entire universe. And like, she was really like, it's humorous now, but she was like really pissed at, you just accept when he says it with this open-hearted reverence. It's like, I've been giving you that feedback for years, and you never listened to me.
There's definitely a frustrating part of being a wife of a man in men's work, because this, you know, it's the same for me. Like, she's been telling me this stuff for years, and then I turn up, do this for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, hey, babe, guess what? This thing. And she's like, I fucking told you. I told you. And I'm like, yeah, but this guy said it. Yeah. But it's part of how we relate differently to masculine and feminine. You know, on some level, you know, maybe my highest evolved self can take whatever feedback from whatever woman. But for where I am and for where I have been, like, I get too defensive, or I have gotten, and certainly in the past, I've gotten too defensive to actually hear the feedback. And so, yeah, it did have to come to me from a different space as well. I needed that space to come into, and you spoke to how many open shares I've taken in the group. Like, I came in with heaps of unspoken stuff that I needed to air out. And the feedback that I got from that was often the feedback that I'd been given by her, but in this container and from a place of not being attacked or feeling attacked. It's not attack, but attack is how you feel. You know, I was able to hear it and receive it and go, oh yeah, actually I am exactly that much of a dickhead, and how you fix that.
Yeah. I know it's just keeping that, like, I am that much of a dickhead, and I know where you're coming from. The important part is, like, there can be a part of us. I just pepper that in to keep it safe for guys, because, like, there are parts that I'd say, hey, I've been a fucking asshole. There's a part of me has been an asshole. There still is that asshole part in me that I have to keep under wraps. But I know, like, from my firsthand experience, Callum, and I want to touch base with you, like, on I remember like initial conversations, there was a bit of kickback with my queen on this level of just being able to receive feedback. But when I got to the mechanism of it and like why I was able to receive that feedback from guys and not from her, was it was essential that I had a space where I didn't have to deal with her kickback, where mm-hmm. it was just about me. And like in an enlightened selfishness, it's like I go in and I remember just being able to vent, like this liberated feeling of I was able to vent whatever is just life for me without the feeling of, oh, fuck, I have to censor what I'm sharing here, because clearly I know, you know, and we're wounded. Our women are wounded. Like we're in a profoundly sick society, really, where everything is disconnection based. So there's wounds both sides. But it's like for me to have this, that my nervous system could relax and go, yeah, I can just speak uncensored for like a few minutes, 5 minutes. And yes, there's this process. Guys will pick it apart like consciously and lovingly and validate me, acknowledge me, and then, you know, support me on my blind spots. But I don't have this beautiful human being who I love so much. I don't have like her 30, 35 years of wounded, you know, perspectives. I don't have to deal with the backlash of that. I can just deal with me and my nervous system. And from that freedom, I was able to work my shit out and actually show up and be able to then, because I dealt more and more with my own wounds, with my own kickback, with my own 100%, I was more able to hold space for her. Does that speak to you? Like, was there that dynamic that just having guys in the room, guys in the space, you could just vent cathartically, you could speak, you know, you could just let it all out uncensored and then piece it apart. What was your experience of that? Was that freeing for you, Callum, or what's coming up when I speak about my experience?
Totally, totally freeing. And yeah, that's exactly it. It's being able to speak it out without having to take the direct reflection back from your queen. And yeah, like I said, like I think this is a deeply codependent thing where you're not speaking your truth, really, is what it comes down to in any moment. And that's a huge barrier to being present. And not owning your stuff is a huge barrier to being present, and being in blaming and shaming thoughts and patterns, like it's a huge barrier to being present. And at the end of the day in that conflict, like if you show up and you're present as much as possible, like it actually will pass quicker than if you fucked around with all that like blaming and shaming, and you'll come out more connected and have a better marriage. Like we literally worked for 10 weeks. And I think a lot of this stuff feels like, you know, certainly for me, there was definitely a part of me starting men's group, starting the piece of work I did with you. Like how much am I going to get done really? Like this is a lifetime worth of work. And it is, but also like, oh fuck, I got a lot done in 10 weeks. I got a lot done. Part of my perpetual taking up of open shares in our group meetings was because like I had heaps of fucking fires to put out every week and I wasn't feeling that great. And I don't take so many open shares anymore. I don't have stuff that's like burning me every week. And I, you know, those 10 weeks of really focused work, like it was transformative.
How is your marriage different now? And like I suppose hone in on the conversations, because you know there's the whole married life. I draw the distinction. There's intimacy, like just one and one, you, your queen, they're both nervous systems, you know, conscious, subconscious, like playing that connecting role that we love so much. And then there's married life beyond that. But if you hone in like within that intimate relating, and I go along very often, guys sort of think, oh, intimacy is just like sex in the bedroom, but there's like that deep intimacy into me, you see, within that arena of like there's yourself, there's your queen present, the conversing, like you were saying, oh, you were never speaking your truth or not owning yourself, etc. How is that different now, Callum, for you? You know, how is your approach different? How are you able to show up, you know, and how are you now able to land your truth? What's different for you, man?
Look, it has all just come back to presence. It's really, in my experience, this has just been absolutely the key to everything else flowing and going smoothly. Like if I'm trying to communicate something from an ungrounded place, from a place where I'm not present, it's like sending a leaky boat out. Like the message might kind of get there, but like the ship might also sink on the way, because it's not coming through integrity. It's not coming through, you know, a full presence. And so keeping that at the front of my mind, you know, having my awareness spread, having my awareness spread all the way throughout my kingdom, like all day on different levels, but all day long having my kingdom in my awareness. But then especially when I'm coming home from work and my wife's already home, she might be getting some dinner ready or doing stuff with kids or whatever she's doing. Coming into the house, like having that moment before I even get in the door and being like, all right, let's get present and we'll take on what's next. And even just like a little change like that, just taking that moment, it seems to have avoided heaps of minor through to major conflicts when I'm able to show up and be present from the outset. And she feels safe, she feels heard, she feels like I'm being honest with her, and she's able to completely relax, and her nervous system isn't picking up these little discrepancies in my veneer of presence and going, oh fuck, this guy isn't being straight with me, can't trust him, don't feel connected. And from there, you know, conflict ensues.
There's such a key part there, and it's like it speaks to the heart from myself for years. And hey, like I always want to lead. It's like I don't nail this. Like I screw this up in many ways and sometimes major ways. You know, it's always that practice of presence. But it's like when you said her nervous system isn't picking up these things, and it's so key. You know, it's actually it's so simple in a way. Again, I love your metaphor there. It's like, oh, sending out a leaky ship, you know, the ship mightn't get there. It's like that plate metaphor. It's like, yeah. if you send a dirty plate, it's like, we sort of laugh about it. It's like you said in this conversation, like myself, it's like, it has never worked. I'd go as like, I'd say this sort of regularly on the podcast, and like, it has never worked in the history of humanity, of men and women getting together in intimate relationship where you speak from heart closure. Like a lack of presence where you're avoiding, your eyes are shifting, you're, you know, where the guy is feeling like, I just want to escape to this. I want to get to harmony, but I just don't want to have to hold space for anymore. I can't do this. It has never worked. When there's a lot of blame thoughts in her head, I mean, it's constantly communicating and she picks it up. You know, I think that's the thing. It's like when you said that, oh, she's not picking this up because you're now present. You now have an awareness, get your eyes back, you know, posture that you're transmitting always, so you get present with that embodied awareness. I just bring guys in, this is not for Callum's ears, and this is like, it is that simple. You know, when you get embodied, when you embody presence in like what Callum has done, we're now breathing more deeply, now intending to create connection, not to prove himself right and wrong, and the eyes bring them back, you know, loving soft gaze and your posture, you're there, you're fully with her, no pacing, etc. State awareness and yeah, the story just coming to claiming. I mean, it changes everything when your woman is feeling like, as you said, Callum, like she's now feeling safe. She's actually feeling okay, the full truth is there. I'm curious, Callum, like how has your queen been showing up? We're bringing the, like, the most important focus, guys, to transform is like within your 100%. You can actually hear everything we've been talking about. Like technically, it's like in the invisible part of your nervous system experience. It's all the silent stuff. It's that plate. We're not talking about, oh, well, what did you start saying to your queen, Callum? It's like not in the external. It's on the internal self-mastery that everything has changed. But how, Callum, how has your queen been showing up? There is always that sacred part that we would love for our women to show up a bit different. But what has been the transformation? Clearly, you're taking divine ownership of your 100% in having, you know, created so much of the conflict. But what has been the transformation in how your queen was showing up before? You weren't safe. You weren't taking ownership. Like, how was she? I suppose, let's get this safe for your queen listening in. What response were you evoking before? And what response are you now evoking now with being more radically safe?
So when I was showing up before without that grounded presence and with all those blaming, shaming thoughts and closed posture, I mean, at the core of it, I think is this feeling of fear and distrust. Like, and that's the response you get. You get the response of somebody or some, you know, of somebody who's feeling like I'm not safe. And I need to, you know, women are fierce and they're gonna fight their way out of that and bring all the heat they need to bring to get out of that situation that's feeling unsafe. And they might not even identify it as being like physically unsafe or you know, emotionally unsafe necessarily. It's something that's happening in their nervous system. It's not something that they're consciously necessarily picking up. They're not looking at your eyes or whether your arms are folded or not, although my queen is looking. Their nervous system is what sees it. And when they're feeling unsafe, like they're also now not in a place of like, let's reconnect. Let's be peaceful. It's fear. It's them now are in the fight, flight or freeze response as well. So that's where I've been, but, and now I'm not like, kind of like you said, like the presence is this simple thing. And I've really identified for myself as at least as this like absolute core key component of relating in my marriage, but in the whole world is being present. Like when you're present, there's trust there. There's no or much less at least fight and kind of reaction that you expect from someone who's feeling attacked or unsafe.
I love your sublime ownership of it, you know, and that fear and distrust. It can't be stated, or it can't, it just can't be overemphasized. I know myself, because of my lack of awareness, it's like I was completely untrustworthy. And yet the one thing I wanted more, I was always speaking that in, I think the one core thing, I didn't speak much in arguments, but if I was, you know, in those moments when I just got so intense that my conflict avoidance was gone and maybe I was feeling empowered with enough blame shit in my nervous system to go, hey, I'm going to land you with this. It's like, why are you not trusting me? I look back now and I'm like, I was looking for trust, but like through these lenses that I've had to go through pure necessity to save my marriage and transform it. Holy shit, if I put myself like for those first 12 years through the five pillars of presence, I mean there was practically 0% of me trustworthy as a man. I remember I've said this to my queen, Callum, and there was quite a grief there, like there's actually a profound grief that it came up for me. But through the lens of my nervous system growing up, it's like what I learned in childhood, I brought into marriage. And it was like I started projecting that she was a monster, that I was always on, she was attacking me. I was this good guy And it's like, I was this poor bastard that is like, oh, you know, because of horror wounds, because of horror shit, because, and it was like, the response I was evoking, it was like, I was like hiding behind the story of the only thing that's evoking that, I didn't have that word, but the only thing that, the only reason she was like, so like dysfunctional and erratic and irrational and harsh to me was, hey, her parents got divorced. Hey, she grew up in, like, there was abuse, and hey, it's like, it's all because of, I was projecting it and blaming it all on her past. But you just bring it back there beautifully with the, hey, you know, women are fierce. They have this intensity to them. And, you know, if they're not feeling trust, if they're not feeling safe, and if they have fear and their safety is at stake, they will bring what they need to bring. They will bring that heat such an impeccable way. And man, I'm so happy. I have to say, I'm so happy that you in self-leadership and your queen, you really feel, and I know I've been in this conversation, but outside you've expressed so much deeper, you know, with the necessity for all of those open chairs isn't really there. You've been checking in going, things good, guys. There's been a lot there of, I know there recently, like, I think to share this, I don't want to share any stuff, the high flame stuff and within from the confidential space, but you had like a major win where I definitely perceived it as a major win. It's like, wow, you know, you're getting back to the gym, like I think like two, if not three times a week, like your self-care, and you're able to communicate that and own your needs. And you're really getting your ship in order where you're feeling your needs are met. You're radically authentic and owning your stuff in marriage in a way that your beautiful queen can meet you there. And man, it's just so moving to see how far you've come in such a short period of time. I'm so so inspired by you. I want to say that I'm so happy for you that your emotional experience is sort of night and day for you, man.
Yeah, well, thanks Mark, and it really is. And it, yeah, I mean, I, you know, can't repeat it enough times. It, you know, it comes back to that presence and just having, you know, having integrity with myself, which is an easy one for the codependent to forget, and then having integrity with her, and that's it.
Where to from here, Callum? I'm feeling bold here. Coming into landing, I'm like, cool. Marriage transformed. Cool. You're meeting your needs. Cool. Brilliant. You know, your nervous system, you're like radically comfortable bringing your truth to your queen, et cetera, et cetera. Things are going good. From this foundation, you know, where to next? What's live for you? What's coming your way?
I mean, I guess realistically, the answer is more of the same. Like, this is just constant work and awareness. And, you know, I think our behavior patterns are just like any outward addictions, where if we're not aware of them, and if we're not working to replace those patterns with healthier ones, then we just slip back into them. So while my sort of daily practices can, like, you know, vary and grow and change, like, the goal will always be the same. We'll always be bringing a higher level of integrity and a higher level of presence to all of my life. And I notice when I apply that to my business, like, I'm more abundant and it flows better, and the clients I get are better clients. I have better relationships with them. So it's really these core things that have just become all pervasive to me in how I want to apply them to my life.
Yeah, it's the key thing, isn't it? And I found that as well. It's like coming to the work, I came to Deep Man's work, like, to save my marriage. It was like, oh man, there's this external thing. What the fuck? What am I meant to do? You know, it's like it was falling apart, crumbling at my feet. But it really is that thing. It's like, once you, like, you know, once you start showing up with integrity within your own nervous system, it's like, it's not your marriage. You're there to, like, come into your fullest power. And when you come into your fullest power in how you relate with your marriage, well, as you do one thing, you do all things. Like, I love that. And I know my podcasts and my movement and the success I'm now, you know, finally really, really enjoying in my business. It's the exact same thing. It's like, okay, in integrity with marriage, okay, just do the same. Integrity with parenting, in integrity with my business relationships, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the way it goes. Like, you get an integrity with your nervous system, everything. You just get an integrity with your whole life. That's a really potent point. I think guys could really listen and learn leaning into.
Yep. There are lots of details to work out, but that's like the most important place to start and where you will see the most growth in your life from.
Mm. Callum, if you were speaking with the guys listening in, let's imagine hypothetically, it's like, well, there's a powerful, potent group. I think about 10, 12, 13% are actually living in Australia. But if you were to meet one of the guys, you know, listening in, and they went for a cup of coffee with you, and you had like a couple of minutes to go, hey, like, they asked you, it's like, man, give it to me blunt. Why do you think it's a good idea for me to join a men's group? What would be that like one or two line bit of brotherly loving advice that you give them as to why that's a really good idea for a husband showing up in the octagon of marriage?
It's actually really hard to give words to. I suppose because it's been such a profound thing for me. Why would you join? Look, I suppose I can just speak from my experience. Like, you know, like I've said, I've let a lot of things go unspoken, and I've let a lot of things build into these silent but still transmitted resentments and whatever else. And being a part of a men's group has given me a space to safely air those, and the safety is this huge component. And in the airing of those things, I've gotten the feedback I've needed. I've been able to receive it. I've been able to transform my life and my relationship, all my relationships. And you know, yeah, for me, just like you, like, that was coming from a place of like, this is on the rocks. This is hard work, and I'm sick of treading this same ground again and again and again. And I'm ready to walk on new ground. And so I suppose my invitation would be, if you've been treading the same ground and you can see that, like, get in there and change something.
Potent final words coming into landing, Callum. Man, I'm just so much, I'm feeling so much love for you. I am feeling so much, I'm actually deeply moved here. Really wanted to share that. Just seeing the transformation, and it's true to me, what I love about it is like you're speaking from such embodied wisdom now. It's not like some theory that I, you know, coach you on. It's like, hey, there's the 5-step theory, and like you're having this theoretical conversation. It's the depth of which that you have infused your nervous system. And clearly, and this is like hats off to your powerful queen. And I know we said that, I spoke that to you at the beginning. It's a bit like my beautiful queen, and like so many guys listening, it's like, potent queen, you said that. It's like, you know, women are fierce when they have a man that has the courage and, you know, the cock and ball and heart energy. Cock and ball energy is like a conscious masculine term, but it's like the willingness to do whatever is necessary to be present to that. They bring more heat, they bring more feedback, and they will respond to that. But man, so just happy for you, and like it's been an honor and a privilege to have you on board here today. Like, and just again, full acknowledgement and gratitude for you having the courage. You're the first guy in the Marriage Transforming Heroes series. There's going to be many, many more, but like you've been the first trailblazer. And I know guys listening in, will be deeply inspired from having had that window into your heart, your soul, your mind, your firsthand experience. And also beyond that, like, I know your beautiful queen will more than likely be listening in, just high honoring on behalf of everybody in the community here, listening in, high honoring for her courage, her willingness to put the fire to you, man, to be a powerful woman, to be like one of these world changing women, to have challenged you to come to men's work. And your response has been impeccable. But being like a leading edge female in this uprising of consciousness as well, because we're like, behind every powerful man, there's an exceptionally powerful woman. So full gratitude to both of you today.
Yeah, no doubt. It's not an easy job.
Callum, it's been beautiful, man. Any final words in just this, your first experience, by the way? This is like your first podcast experience. I hope the experience has been a beautiful one for you, man.
Yeah, look, I think I've relaxed into it. Full gratitude for you. In our work in group and in the one-on-one stuff we've done. I'm grateful that you invited me here to share a bit of my story and the work I've been doing recently. So yeah, man. And to whoever's listening, like, this is good stuff. Get around it.
Thanks, man. Callum, it's been an honor and a privilege having you on. And guys, the gauntlet has been set down there by Callum. I mean, it's like, it's so radically clear as he speaks. And I mean, we could speak for hours more. I've heard like the in-depth details of like how that transformation has become like so incredible and felt by his woman, and within himself. You know, if you're there living and your authentic truth, you don't know how to bring that forward in relationship, which is a core thing for all us men. If we can't bring that radical authentic truth, what's truly deeply like the most important aspects of our being, and express those in a way that's safe for our beautiful queens and for ourselves, and bring that harmony and like radical safety for our queens, where they feel as you bring your radical truth and authenticity, when you can do that and have them feel, you know, seen and heard and radically safe, that they can bring it. They're wanting your radical aliveness, which comes with your radical truth, but they absolutely need to make sure that it's served on a plate, a clean plate, that the meal of your radical authentic truth is served with a clean plate where they're radically safe. Because when it's safe and your authentic self is what brings you alive, they're getting the best of you, but they need to have it safe. Callum has done the work. He continues to do the work. You hear vicariously what's possible. If you want to experience what that is like for you firsthand, like the direct masculine challenge is there to you. It takes 10 seconds of radical courage. The Heroic Husbands Men's Circles free discovery call link is in the podcast description. It is today. 10 seconds of radical courage, and you knock over the first domino to opening up the same type of experience for you, for your queen, for your kids. And that's why we do what we do here, because better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. And before you go, Kingly Brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.